before we get to today's podcast telling why Survivor fans should check out Big Brother 19, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. The Home Depot has the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry washer and dryer pair. This innovative appliance pair is the first ever to allow you to wash and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in the same machine. So when you go to do your laundry, you don't have to mix different colors and fabrics together, risking color transfer or fabric damage. Flex Wash integrates a large lower washer for everyday washes and an additional washer for separate colors or delicates. Flex Dry integrates a large tumble dryer for the everyday items and a flat dryer for delicates. Both the washer and the dryer have a number of innovative features to make doing laundry easier on you and your clothes. You'll feel like you're the HOH every time you head to the laundry room. FlexWash offers a steam wash option for evicting the stains right off your clothes, and self-clean keeps the washer odor-free. FlexDry features multi-steam to steam away odors and wrinkles, while SensorDry optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage to your clothes. Both are Wi-Fi connected, allowing you to set and start the machines and receive an alert when your load is finished. Together, the Flex Wash and Flex Dry offer the ultimate flexibility to provide the best possible care for your clothes. That's the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry washer and dryer pair, available at Home Depot. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a special episode of Rob Has a Podcast, where today we are going to help you expect the unexpected as you are watching Big Brother 19 as a Survivor fan. Or basically, we're going to try to sell you on why, as a Survivor fan or somebody who's new to Big Brother, why you should check out this upcoming season of Big Brother. And here with me to join me to talk about why you should be checking out Big Brother 19 is a man that I just recently wrapped talking to over 19 hours about the first real season of Big Brother in our new audiobook. But first, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary. Please welcome in the man, the machine, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I'm putting my salesman hat on, because if people don't watch Big Brother, then the 19 hours we just recorded was all for naught.
No, well, that's for the people that already watch Big Brother, or at least used to watch Big Brother. They can still go back and watch, listen to our audiobook talking all about the iconic season of Big Brother 2 from 2001. Of course, if you missed that this week, we put a 3-hour preview all about the first week of Big Brother 2 up in the podcast feed. You can check that out. Go to robinswebsite.com/BB2. You can hear the whole 3-hour first part there. But Taryn, Big Brother 19 is just around the corner. June 28th is going to be the big premiere. The cast of Big Brother 19 expected to drop this upcoming Monday, appropriately on June 19th. So on the 19th, we'll get the cast of 19.
Yeah, there you go. You know, this has always been such an exciting time for me. Even when I was a kid, when I watched Big Brother, waiting for the summertime, school was out, waiting for the cast to drop, knowing that there was a whole season, a whole summer of Big Brother ahead of me. Always a very exciting time.
Oh! Yes, very exciting time. A lot to be pumped up about. We are going to find out the cast. We're going to find out the twists. At this point, Taryn, do we know anything about Big Brother 19 except it premieres on June 28th?
Really, not much. There's usually rumors all abound, but this time nothing seems too credible.
No, we don't know anything, and there's a lot of fake news out there. A lot of people on Twitter talking about returning players. Nobody knows anything. Nothing's been confirmed, so I'm sure there will be a lot of surprises to unwrap, both on the 19th when we get the cast reveal, and then also on the 28th when the show premieres. Is it 2-hour premiere also?
Yeah, I think it is.
It's going to be a week from this upcoming Wednesday. Big Brother 19 is around the corner. So we're going to talk about a bunch of the reasons why people might be scared of Big Brother, why they don't have to worry, what's great about Big Brother, talk about the strategy and how the game works, and got some questions also from the audience here with Taryn. So excited to dive into all of that. But first, as they might say on Big Brother, let me mention one of our sponsors here today. And Taryn, one of the bad things about being on Big Brother is the isolation. question. And of course, that's what your pet feels every day when you go off to work. There's so many dogs that are in need of a walk during the day. And that's where WAG comes in, the app that will allow you to schedule a dog walker to come to your house and take the dog out for a walk and give you a full report, Taryn.
A full report. Oh, man, that's fancy.
Yes. Did you know that actually last summer there was a dog groomer on Big Brother?
Was there?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm positive. He was there. He would be a great choice to take care of your pet. But of course, then not everybody has somebody like that. That's where WAG comes in. Where
I heard he had a lot of great reviews.
Great reviews from the WAG walkers as well. Either ASAP or on demand, you can schedule a walk for any time. They will automatically pair you with a dog walker in your neighborhood. You'll get a text message alert and also a GPS route marker of where the dog is at all times, plus a full report card on what your dog did on the walk. It's a private dog walking service. They don't walk your dog with other people's dogs. WAG's got a great offer for you. Sign up today. You'll get your first walk for free. No promo code needed. Give WAG a try. Your life gets a little easier. Your dog's going to be happier and healthier from the extra care. So download WAG on iTunes or on Google Play. Search for WAG Walking. Why wait to make your life easier and your dog life's happier? Download WAG and sign up today for your free walk. All right, Taryn, let's go for a walk to the world of Big Brother, the wonderful world of Big Brother that monopolizes so many months of our year, basically from June 28th all the way, I think, to what, like September 20th or something like that. So it seems like that we've shortened the Big Brother season a tiny bit this year, no?
I'm not sure, but if that is the case, that's a good thing, I think.
Amen to that. Actually, you know, it might just be that the Survivor season is starting a week later, but the Big Brother season's ending at the exact same time. But let's talk about Big Brother. Taryn, why Big Brother? Why? You've said before, and you've made no secret about this, you like Big Brother better than Survivor. Why?
I do. And here's the thing. I don't necessarily like the show of Big Brother better than the show of Survivor. I think the show Survivor is probably more well-produced and certainly more dramatic and all of those kinds of things. But what I love about Big Brother is not only the game of Big Brother, which I think is much more complex and interesting than the game of Survivor, but also the fact that it's happening in real time. We get all the information you want. It's kind of like the difference between an all-you-can-eat buffet and a specialized meal. It's like you can get whatever you want out of Big Brother. You can watch a little bit, you can watch a lot, and if you do watch a lot, you can be really, really rewarded when you do.
So you feel like that you can be as engaged as you want with what's happening in this house?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can learn as all of the stuff that's happening, or you can just kind of stick to the summarized version, or you can just watch the episodes, or you can just listen to the podcasts. It's really like pick and choose your own adventure here.
A little a la carte in sort of like this immersive experience. You're describing it like Westworld, Taryn.
Yeah, it's just like Westworld.
Yeah.
Including, you know, all the danger.
Wow. Okay. So for the completely uninitiated, Big Brother, let's set that up. Okay. Everybody has to know it's about a bunch of people who live in a house, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Okay. It's people living in a house. They can't leave. They can't go anywhere. That once a week, there is going to be one person, hopefully, that, you know, there's been some twists in the path they've done where they've done. But let's just operate under the normal assumption of before, you know, what the twists could be. One person is the HOH. That stands for head of household. They get to pick two people who are going to go up on the block, and those people are going to be marked for eviction for the week. They will have the house vote on them. However, that there is a wrinkle called the power of veto, which is another competition where one person can win the power to remove someone from the block, whether it's themselves or a friend. And then if the veto is used, another person is put up in their place. And then we end up with a vote. We had last season the roadkill thrown into the mix. You think the roadkill's coming back, Taryn?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we'll operate under the assumption two people up on the block. the rest of the house votes, one person leaves, one person stays, and that person that stays has a lot of ill will towards the person that put them up the previous week, and so on and so forth.
Yes, and you know, that might seem like a lot if you have no idea about Big Brother coming into this, but it's really you can catch on pretty quickly as soon as you start seeing how it works and how it plays out throughout the week.
I've heard Big Brother described as a far more complicated game than Survivor, which I think is a little bit of a polarizing opinion. Are you of the belief that the Big Brother game is more complex than Survivor?
I do. And not that Survivor isn't complex, because I think the complexity in Survivor comes down to a lot of like the interpersonal relationships and the social aspect of it, which are also a part of Big Brother. But Big Brother, I think, is more strategically complex, because in Survivor, the basic goal is get a majority of people and then all of those people vote the same way. And you just continue that, you know, ad nauseum until you get down to the finals or so on and so forth. And there is some complexity, which you kind of innovated, which is you can go back and forth, you can betray your alliance, you can switch allegiances and stuff like that. But with Big Brother, it's not just a matter of getting a majority. You can have every single person in the house on your side except for one. And if that one person wins HOH, you're in deep trouble. Because any one person can win that power and put you and somebody else up on the block. And then instead of getting a majority of people to vote somebody else out, you need to get the majority of people to vote the person sitting next to you out, which can be very, very difficult. Add in the power of veto and everything that comes along with that as well, and you really get this very complex game, because not only as HOH you put two people up, but one of those people stays, they're probably going to come after you. It also makes you a big target, not only with the house, but with your alliance. There are a lot of different aspects you need to consider.
Survivor, I think, on the one hand, can be more complicated, but on the other hand, it can also be more simple at times. That in the world of Big Brother, after the power of veto is played, there are only two options. Either person A goes home or person B goes home. Sometimes there's a third person on the block as well in certain scenarios, or that person could go home. Whereas on Survivor, any person, barring the person who has immunity or the hidden immunity idol or the legacy advantage or some other advantage, that person, any person could go home in any round of Survivor. So in some ways, you have to be more on your toes on Survivor. But as you mentioned, with the way that the HOH works, where it's much harder to pull off a pagonging on Big Brother than it would be on Survivor, because there, if you have a, you know, 5-2 advantage, barring the use of the hidden immunity idol, then that's easier to maintain that advantage on Survivor than it is on Big Brother, where that person, one of those two people could win HOH, one of those two people could win the power of veto. So you can get a more unpredictable scenario in Big Brother.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's a good thing to point out, which is I think Big Brother tends to start out the week very, very open and complex. There are a lot of different outcomes depending on who wins HOH. And then even once somebody wins HOH, there's still a lot of different outcomes that can occur. But then as the week goes on, those possibilities narrow down. You know, once the veto is played and the final nominations are locked, then it's just one person or the other. But even then, we often see house flips. We see the vote turn around and people shifting allegiances. Alliances tend to not be as solid on Big Brother because of the fact that if somebody else wins HOH and targets your alliance, you need to start eating at each other, sacrificing one of your people in your alliance in order for you to survive, which can often cause, you know, strife and allegiances shift.
So much has been talked about in terms of, especially coming off of Survivor Game Changers, about the speed of the Survivor game, how it's gone faster. We had a season of Survivor, and I won't spoil in case anybody is not caught up with this current season of Survivor, but there were a number of immunity idols in play. There were a number of advantages in play. And so things got very complicated in that sense. Whereas I'm not sure if the gameplay on Big Brother is any faster today than it was, say, 5 years ago. What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty much true. I think that I actually think that's largely for the opposite reason, or at least the twists have created an opposite effect, where the Big Brother game keeps changing things up, so people aren't really able to ever sit still and really like get used to the strategy and evolve their strategy in the same way that Survivor has in that sense, because things are constantly shifting in Big Brother. I think a huge part of Big Brother is variance, way more so than Survivor, where the HOH competitions are usually wildly random. They can be complete crapshoots. Twists are completely random. They occur at random times. They are often unique twists that have never happened before, and there's really no way to predict them. So there's a lot of random elements coming in, which makes people play a little bit more conservatively sometimes. And we usually get a very, very fast-paced game in the beginning of Big Brother, which tends to slow down toward the end because the game is kind of like wrapping up and there's not as much room to maneuver. Whereas in Survivor, there tends to be a lot of room to maneuver toward the end because of the nature of how anything can go any which way down the line, and any one vote, it means a lot more.
And there's also a lot of different phases of the Survivor game where the speed of the game might be different, where in Survivor you have sort of like the pre-swap, post-swap, and then sort of like right after the merge and sort of towards the end game. In Big Brother, there's really like the jury and the pre-jury.
Yeah, and the shifts tend to come naturally in different places in different seasons, because usually what will happen is there'll be some sort of power structure in the beginning of the game. They'll try to take control of the game, and they will often try too hard and play too hard and then crumble a few weeks in, at which point the whole tone of the game will shift and some new player will rise into power, and they will try to run the game to the end. And usually what happens in Big Brother is anyone that tries to take control will usually go down in flames at some point or another, and somebody who's been a little bit more behind the scenes, a little bit more conservative, and paced themselves a little better will come out strong in the end.
It's really hard to play the type of I always go back to Boston Rob Redemption Island, sort of like, okay, this is my group, I'm going to the end with my group. You have to be really, really subtle if you're going to do that. You cannot be seen as that leader that's out in front. You have to, in Big Brother, if you're going to play that type of game, make it look like somebody else is the leader and you don't actually have a group that's a solid number. Saying like, hey, it's our five and that's it, that's really a way to paint a target on your back always in Big Brother.
Yeah, exactly. On Survivor, you can form a group and keep them together for 39 days. In Big Brother, if you keep a group together for 39 days, you've made it about a third of the way through the season.
Right.
So there's a lot longer period of time for you to fail and crumble. And it's impossible. It's nearly impossible to keep a group together for the full 100 days of Big Brother.
Now, Taryn, something very near and dear to your heart in terms of Big Brother is the ability to watch on the live feeds. For people who are just coming into this, I'm sure they've heard Big Brother live feeds, but can you sort of set up what those are?
Okay, so the Big Brother live feeds, they probably sound very intimidating to anybody who's never really heard much about them before, but they basically are a 24-hour live feed of what's happening in the house. You get four cameras to look at, which is about two different viewpoints with two angles on each viewpoint. And you get to see the house live as they play the game. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to watch the feeds, because you benefit from the feeds being there, even if you don't touch them at all, because people like me are watching them for you, and we get to talk about them and explain. You know, when you're watching Survivor and you're like, why did Zeke turn on this person in this season? You don't really know why until you see the interviews after the fact. And even then, it's kind of this person said this one thing and this person said this thing. On Big Brother, you're like, well, why did this happen? You can immediately tune into the podcast and we will explain it for you, because we saw it happen. And we saw not only what happened and what the players think happened, but we saw the seeds of what happen a week ago. And we can say, well, this incident actually made this person lose trust here, and then that made them do this a week later, and then that made this person react in this way. And it's very, very interesting to see exactly why things happen the way that they do. And that said, if you are interested in watching the feeds, they can be very, very fun. It can be very addicting if you really enjoy watching it. It's fun to even just try to just turn them on, see what's happening, watch these people just kind of live their lives. And then when you do kind of run into something that's happening that's very exciting, like, oh, a fight just started breaking out. Like, this is crazy. Like, oh my God, I want to get on Twitter and tell everyone, like, this is happening. And you get to turn on, go onto Twitter. You get to go into the chat rooms and talk to a whole group of people who are also watching at the same time and watch these things happen as they occur and discuss them with people who are also really interested. It can be a really fun experience. And like I said, even if you aren't watching, you still benefit from the fact that all of that information is out there and can be delivered to you in a nice little fun package, I think, on the podcast.
Yes. Now, that being said, if you want to check out the live feeds, we have a link, robisawebsite.com/live feeds. I think you get a week free if you try the live feeds. They're part of CBS All Access, which is $5.99 a month. And then you have a bunch of other TV shows, including the whole back catalog of Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, and all the CBS shows available to you on the CBS All Access. Now, if you don't watch the live feeds, though, it's very easy to follow along with what's going on through social media, and not to mention, we'll talk about the podcast, but in terms of social media, I'm not watching a ton of live feeds during the season, but I feel like I'm pretty constantly updated through most of what people are saying on Twitter. And if something big is ever happening, oh, you'll know.
Yeah. It blows up, and it can be very exciting. Like, things can just happen. Like, when you're watching Big Brother over the summer and you're tuned into the live feeds, you can just be going about your day, check Twitter, and you see, oh my God, all of a sudden something really exciting is happening. And just the knowledge that anything exciting can happen at any given moment is a fun thing to be a part of. And when the Big Brother season ends, you're kind of like, oh man, you know, nothing exciting is going to happen anymore. And it's a little disappointing, you know what I mean? So, like, it is very,
very
disappointing.
When Big Brother is over, nothing exciting is going to happen anymore.
No, nothing exciting at all. Your life is just dull and meaningless. So be careful. Big Brother brings meaning to your life and then it goes away. And you don't know what to do with yourself.
Do you wish for Big Brother OTT, Taryn? Is that what happened?
I don't think I could ever say that I wished for Big Brother OTT.
Is that what happened? You wished that you said, like, oh, I wish that Big Brother would never end and there would always be something exciting going on.
Yeah, I feel like I made a deal with the devil or something. Like, I was like, he was like, I'll give you whatever you want. And I was like, more Big Brother. And he was like, ha ha ha, you think you want this.
Big Brother OTT, just for people who don't know necessarily what that is or have heard about it but aren't quite sure. There was a season of Big Brother, which was only on CBS All Access, which played out over last October and November. And it was a very polarizing season where there were some different rules to it, where America was had a lot of say in terms of what was happening, and America could nominate somebody. And it turned into a thing where the fan base was very divided. The house was very divided. The fan base was very divided. And it was, you know, going on at the same time as the 2016 election. Everybody was just on edge, Taryn.
Yeah, you could say that. You know, if you're on the fence about checking out Big Brother, definitely check out the show proper first. And then if you really love that, you can try out Big Brother OTT.
Pissed?
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You might be. So that is basically how the live feeds work. And of course, that they are reported on the podcast many times a week between Taryn, Alex Kidwell, Brent Wolgamott, and our newest live feed correspondent, Melissa Denny. They are always on the podcast with me talking things through. But we will, Taryn, let me set this up. We have a little bit.
Breaking news are happening now.
Okay. Ooh. In addition to what we cover on the podcast, and I'll be live after the episode, Big Brother episodes air 3 nights a week on CBS on Sunday, Wednesday, and evictions are always on Thursday night, except for special occasions. So I will be covering the show then. But Taryn, we may also have some special LFC coverage of Big Brother on somewhat frequently.
Yeah. We're toying around with this idea of kind of doing a little like morning update, on your way to work, just pop on the morning update podcast. We'll tell you what happened yesterday on the feeds.
Yes.
We'll just like hang out, have a nice casual discussion about everything that happened. We'll take some questions. It'll be fun.
Because the Big Brother world is bigger than what we can hold in 3 podcasts a week. There's a 24/7 news cycle happening. happening in the Big Brother house, and our team is on top of it.
Yeah, yeah, and they'll just be like short little updates. It's, again, it's the kind of thing where I mentioned where it's like, Big Brother, you can get as much out of it as you want. If you want to get like little updates every morning, then you can. If you'd rather just stick to the three times a week episodes or podcasts, then you can do that as well. And as I mentioned, you don't even have to watch the episodes, really. They're not that important if you know other stuff that's happening, which we will be keeping you apprised of. So it's really a choose your own adventure, as I mentioned.
Yeah, and there definitely is a section of at least the RHAP audience that I hear from. I don't watch the show, but I listen to the podcast. So that's really the ultimate time saver. Don't even watch Big Brother.
That's seriously, I get that a lot. And when I tell you it's not necessary to watch the episodes, I really mean it. I missed some Big Brother Canada episodes, and I still podcasted about them.
Wow.
And Big Brother Canada 5. So
yes. Oh, is that your fault while it's canceled?
Maybe.
Hiatus.
Yeah,
it's on hiatus. Although we'll see. Right now it's in the victor zone right now, where it's going to win the battle back, I think.
Yeah, hopefully.
Taryn, let's talk about some of the reservations that people have, because there's a lot of reasons I hear from people. Oh, I don't do Big Brother. Nope. I'm a Survivor fan. Big Brother is not for me. And so I like to ask them, you know, you don't want to, if somebody has a strong opinion like that, you don't want to engage them head on, but you can ask some questions and say, oh, that, you know, I get it. Why aren't you into Big Brother? And they'll say, well, it's on three times a week. That's too much. That's a lot of episodes for me. I don't have that kind of time, Taryn.
Yes, and if you would prefer to watch one episode a week, you can just, I think some people do this, they watch just the live eviction show on Thursday. That's a very viable option for you, because they do a recap of the week before, previously on, they'll tell you, you know, this
previously
person won HOH.
Previously on Big Brother.
That was good.
It's okay.
Yeah, they'll tell you who won HOH, who they nominated, what happened with the veto. They'll give you a quick recap of the week and then tell you essentially, they'll show you what's happening with the voting. And it's the most important episode to watch if you do want to watch an episode. So I really do think that's a very viable strategy for watching Big Brother. And again, listening to the podcast absolutely fills in all the gaps that you would need if you choose to go that route.
Here's my advice, though, because it's the summer and people travel and there's things to do. And especially like there's a Sunday night episode, you could be out somewhere or away for the weekend. If you miss an episode, this is where I think people get into trouble. Oh, I'm too behind, and they just never go back. I say you never have to go back. If you miss it, you miss it. Unless you, again, you're a diehard, you know what you're doing. You know, you don't need advice from me. But if you miss it, just go on to the next one. There'll be a previously on. If there's anything that you don't understand, believe me, this is not something where you're not going to be able to follow the thread of. They'll show you something that happened already if it's that important.
Yeah, yeah. It's very difficult to feel like you've missed something on Big Brother because they really try to do their best to tell you everything that's happened as often as possible.
And I don't want to say that it can't be complicated at times, because it certainly can be. Taryn, I did this podcast a year ago, getting ready for Big Brother 18. I was talking with Jordan Parhar about this very topic, and I got a lot of pushback. People felt like I was saying that Big Brother isn't strategic at all just because we have people wearing crazy costumes and there's a lot of nonsense that goes on. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. Don't get it twisted, people. Although there will be times when it does get twisted this summer.
Oh, definitely. But and again, that's really what I love about Big Brother, is that it really is very complex, but it's still in some way, I really don't like the way that it's presented. I don't like how it feels very, you know, oh, it's the summer and, you know, showmances and all that stuff. Like, it's not my favorite. I'm kind of embarrassed when those previews come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the benefit is to people who do want to just tune in casually, they really do their best to present it as simply as possible. And so if you just need something simple, then they've got that covered for you. If you want to dive deeper, we've got that covered for you, I think.
So what do you say, Taryn, to the person like, you know, Big Brother, isn't that show where they wear costumes and isn't that a little ridiculous?
Yes, it is very ridiculous. last season, one of the final competitions, they were dressed as cats, and they had to like go in litter boxes and oversized litter boxes, and it was utterly ridiculous. And
I think there was a laser pointer involved also, where they were cats chasing a laser pointer around. They had to like sit on a perch.
Yes, something you have to realize about Big Brother is that it's a show that really enjoys humiliating their contestants as much as possible. And as long as you're able to stomach that, there's a lot of great stuff there. And they really are able to you know, turn the tables. There are some really, really great players of Big Brother who have absolutely had some humiliating competitions. Dan Giesling had to do a competition where he was essentially like in short shorts, like humping a saddle. He's like one of the greatest players of all time, highly regarded, highly revered. So it's not like so humiliating that they're like exploiting these people, but it is sometimes embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, one of the big fundamental differences between Survivor and Big Brother comes from the fact that Survivor takes itself deadly serious, that there is no point when Survivor sort of like drops the facade of this is the greatest adventure of your entire life. Ceri walked across the balance beam. Now, because she did that, she can do anything. You're in the final three. How is this going to impact the rest of your life? Big Brother, at no point, takes itself that seriously. Big Brother can't wait to slime you. Big Brother can't wait to put you in a humiliating costume. Big Brother can't wait to make you do fart jokes. Big Brother is not treated with the same reverence that Survivor treats itself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not. I think if I were to compare the two, Survivor is kind of like this very serious, very dramatic, almost like a scripted show where it's very edited, and it's very direct and pointed in a certain way. They're trying to tell a specific story. Big Brother, they can't edit it because they obviously edit it, but they can't edit it toward a specific story because they're watching it play out live. They don't know what's going to happen in the future, so they can't forecast things. They can't have like one specific story throughout the entire season. So there's a lot of a lot more leeway in terms of that. And so Big Brother is just they try to make it as fun as possible. And if there's anything good to be said about, again, this sort of silliness, it's that they don't take themselves seriously. They do try to have a ton of fun with it. And even when serious things are happening, they'll throw in some jokes. It can be very funny, and it can be very fun to podcast about how ridiculous it is sometimes. You get the sort of like combination of being able to be like, this is a really ridiculous show and we're making fun of it, but it's also really interesting and complex and strategic, and we're really delving into that as well.
Yeah. In one breath, we'll be talking about, okay, what is this person going to do? What are the nominations going to be? But then we will also be exploring some bizarre personality tick that somebody has that the show has managed to make into one of the subplots on the program.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much to talk about and analyze with the show. It's why I like it. As somebody who doesn't really enjoy reality TV as a whole, I'm really just here for the strategy. I love Big Brother, even though, again, like I hate having to tell people, yeah, I do a podcast about Big Brother, because they immediately are like, oh, really? But I love it. It's so good and it's so rewarding to watch. If you do like strategy, and if you do like the fun aspect of it, which I do, I think there are a lot of really fun moments. Sometimes they go overboard with it, but even when they go overboard with it, we get to make fun of it and laugh around on the podcast about it. And that's fun, too. So there's really no losing here.
One of the areas where people are bound to get upset that every season, Julie Chen comes in and talks about how this season is going to have so many twists that they always make the twists into a selling point of why people are going to really love the season. We're going to have the best twists. We're going to have the most twists. You won't believe all the twists that we have. Universally, everybody hates the twists every season, Taryn, right?
I wish I could agree with that. There are some people that do, that like the twist, but I think the majority of people, the majority of people tend to not like the twist too much. They tend to not be the greatest in the world. I am probably one of the biggest detractors of twists. But if you are new to Big Brother, then you don't even have anything to compare them against, so it's not going to bother you too much.
It shouldn't bother you too much other than just trying to get your head around what they're doing. Taryn, did you think that Big Brother 18 was a good season of Big Brother?
I did enjoy Big Brother 18. I thought the first half was very interesting, and the way there was a lot of drama happening. There was a lot of different shifting of the house, and then we had this guy, this ridiculous guy, super overconfident, Paulie, take over the game.
No, Paulie.
Yes, and. We had a massive downfall. He totally just crashed and burned like crazy. He essentially got his showmance up on the block, and then she was evicted, and then he was evicted soon after. And and then we had this whole underdog thing, and they took over, and we ultimately ended up with a sort of new star of the game in Paul, who was very crazy and charismatic. Yes, we have lots of Paul sound clips, but and we also had somebody who I think was pretty good at the game, and people didn't like that she ultimately wins, but I think overall the season was very good anyway, despite the twists and despite the so despite everything, I think it really was a fun season to watch. I think a lot of people enjoyed it, but they were a little bit soured by the ending, which can happen in Survivor too. Sometimes the end isn't what you wanted it to be, and that's kind of like disappointing. But the journey is always usually very fun, and I think the previous season, Big Brother 17, was an amazing season. I think that was this really, really good. Also, kind of like not the most exciting ending for a lot of people, but I think the journey up until that point and even that moment at the end was all very, very exciting. So if anyone tells you that like Big Brother nowadays is not as good as it used to be, I'm not on that train.
I think Big Brother to me is a lot like Saturday Night Live, where people always talk about how Saturday Night Live now is not as good as it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's when it was good. Now it sucks. And Big Brother gets talked about in the same sort of way. I do think that there's something just like built in that it's this ongoing show where there's so much of it. So much of the summer is spent talking about Big Brother, especially on social media. A lot of that conversation turns negative. And I do think that complaining about Big Brother is part of the appeal of Big Brother.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people invest a lot of time into
it's like
it.
Being
and
a
some
Mets
people.
Fan.
Yeah, I guess so. I think some people burn themselves out a little, and they, you invest so much time, it hits you more when something is disappointing, and you really want to rail against it. But I think the thing you'll notice is that all of those people that complain will come back every single summer. I don't think, like, if those are the people that are scaring you off, look at their actions instead of their words, because they are going to keep watching. And that's because it is such a special show, and they are still drawn to it, despite the fact that they want to complain about it all the time.
I do think that part of it is the point you made about Survivor being a story where there's like a narrative and they know where it's going. And in a lot of seasons, Survivor is designed to make you root for the person that's ultimately wins. So you are watching the show and you are seeing the story of a person who's going to ultimately come out on top, where they don't know in the third and the fourth and the fifth week who's going to win Big Brother. So you could end up with a season where somebody that you have grown very much to dislike is going to ultimately be the person who wins, and there's really no way to retcon the stuff that they already showed you that made you didn't like them.
Yeah, you know, something this might be a ridiculous comparison, but I almost liken it to something like Survivor is kind of like Breaking Bad. Like, it's a very focused story. It's telling a single thing. It's very, very good. Whereas Big Brother is something a little more akin to Game of Thrones, where anything can happen and you're not always going to be happy with the outcome. And it really feels like a living, breathing thing because, you know, your main character, the person that they've invested all of this edit time and diary room time to, who's everybody's favorite, just gets cut out of nowhere in a double eviction and you're just left reeling. Anything can happen, and that's part of the excitement of Big Brother. And I think that's really a really fun part of it.
Wow. So you think George R.R. Martin is a Big Brother fan?
Oh, of course. He has to be. I think Game of Thrones was based off of Big Brother, actually.
Is that really?
Even though he
wow.
started... He did start writing it long before Big Brother started, but, you know, we'll gloss over that.
Chicken George R.R. Martin?
He was in disguise. Oh, my God.
Yeah, somebody put a beard on Chicken George. I need to see that side by side. Wow, that's what Chicken George has been doing all this time.
We always wondered why Chicken George was on All Stars. He was the writer of the show.
Wow, I think we really cracked something there. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Taryn, let's just quickly touch on some of the people that have really defined Big Brother, some of the iconic personalities from over the years. You mentioned Dan Gieseling, and anybody that listens to the podcast knows that he is your number one.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, why?
He's amazing. Okay, well, so the thing about Big Brother is, and this is something else that some people might tell you about Big Brother, is that the casting isn't quite as good as Survivor. And I will agree to that to some extent, but... the thing is, when Big Brother finds somebody really special, it really, really makes the entire season. Like, one person can really make an entire season. And when you find somebody like Dr. Will or Dan Gieseling, it really, they just really elevate the entire thing. Dan Gieseling is a player who, he goes into the game in his first season. He's completely on the outs at first. He's throwing competitions that he needs to win, on purpose because he wants to, create this weak persona, and then he eventually comes back, he dominates the strategy of the second half of the game, and then he comes back a second time to play again, and he is essentially has his back to the wall the entire time, cutting throats left and right. He has this thing that we call the mist, where he just completely mists people into doing everything that he wants. It's amazing to watch live, like actually happen. You get to see how this guy works and operates. Somebody like him, you know, just watching him do his thing is incredible for anybody that enjoys the strategy aspect. And somebody like Dr. Will, who they've had on twice, incredibly charismatic, incredibly persuasive and manipulative. Every time he's in the diary room, you're just like, yes, yes, I want more. This is amazing. We got somebody, Vanessa Rousseau, who is a professional poker player on Big Brother 17. She's one of the top female poker players in the world, and she was a lightning rod. She is essentially, we called her like the female Tony Vlachos because
she shouldn't come back.
I would like to see her back, but yeah, she'd probably have some trouble in the early weeks. But I mean, she was just like a lunatic. Like, she was running around crying half the time and then like doing ridiculously complex strategic moves the other half of the time. Big Brother is so good at finding these really, really captivating people who are also really great strategists, and they really have a much bigger chance to shine in Big Brother than they do in Survivor, I think, because on Survivor, when you get these kinds of people, you're really kind of hit over the head with them most of the time. You know, I think Tony was one of the best edited characters because he wasn't really, I mean, you did get hit over the head with Tony, but you never really thought it was like a whitewashed kind of thing. It was like, this is Tony. With Big Brother, it's always like that. You see every aspect of them, their good parts, their bad parts. You see really what makes them tick, and that's so interesting to watch.
Let me just play devil's advocate, though, with you in terms of casting between the two shows, because I feel like that there are certainly standouts that get cast every season into Big Brother, but I just feel that the number of people who go into a season that don't know the game, that don't know the show, often they're able to pick it up, but I feel like that the beginning of the season, it may be good or bad, is often just a car accident where people are just playing so terribly. Is that intentional, or is that to try to fill some archetypes that casting wants?
I think they usually go for archetypes, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, like, I've been a big critic of Big Brother casting for a while. I think that It's kind of unfortunate. It's kind of like with Survivor, they really do a really great job of casting. I think the last few years, Survivor has just completely knocked it out of the park with their casting. Big Brother is more like you get about like 4 to 6 spots in the casting in the cast that are like these are the potentially really good people, and then the rest of them are just fodder. And if you don't hit the mark with those good people, then you got a lackluster cast. If you do hit the mark with those good people, then it can be really, really fun and exciting. So it's a little bit more of a gamble with Big Brother, but when they do hit, it does hit pretty hard.
I feel like in the last couple of seasons of Survivor, the last couple of years, I think that there's maybe like 5 people who have gone out there and didn't know the rules of the game at the start of the season, like over the last few years. Whereas this cast will come out, there will be like 7 people who have never seen the show before.
Yeah. And, you know, they get the tapes of, you know, a couple of previous seasons in Sequester, and they watch those and then they try to emulate what they saw. Usually. And, you know, this is not the strongest quality of Big Brother for sure. But you do get occasional standouts. And I would love to see Big Brother emulate Survivor casting a little bit more, because I really think that's an area where Survivor just really does a much better job.
And then, of course, I am not complaining too much, because it always ends up being the most fun. I say that Big Brother starts where it's like an insane scramble, and then it gets a little more boring as you get towards the end game. And on Survivor, sometimes it's the opposite, where it's a little more boring in the beginning. It's always fun when you get like the Devin, the person who's running around making a million alliances in the house. That's always one of my favorite people in Big Brother.
Yeah, and you usually get a couple of those every season. And that's again, like, there's always a positive to the negative with Big Brother, where, like, maybe the casting isn't always the greatest, but it can also lead to really interesting stuff, like total car crashes and train wrecks, Becky reference, in the early parts of the season, or even further down the line. People who don't know the game can often throw wrenches into the people who do know the game's game plan. There's so much variance in Big Brother. It can lead to very high highs. It can also sometimes lead to lower lows. But it doesn't really matter, because it's all just a matter of, like, anything can happen. And even when it's not good, it's still good.
I want to get into some of the questions we have from the listeners, but let me quickly mention a word from Hulu. Taryn, you watch any of the Hulu?
Yeah, I watch a lot of Hulu shows, actually.
What do you watch on Hulu?
I watched The Path. I watched the Stephen King one. That's a date that I can't remember. That was a good one. I read the book. It's a great show.
Well, guess what, Taryn? That just like the Big Brother house has a new look, so does Hulu. New look, new experience. Of course, you can catch all of the great Hulu originals like Handmaid's Tale, Harlots, and Casual, plus full seasons of Fargo, Blackish, Empire, Fear the Walking Dead, Nashville, exclusively on Hulu. Plenty of add-ons like Showtime, but guess what else? That it's not just on Big Brother where you could be watching the live feeds. You could be watching live TV on Hulu and transform the way you experience TV. Hulu with Live starts at $39.99 a month, which includes limited commercials, Hulu streaming plans. Taryn, would you be willing to watch the live Hulu and report back on it for people?
Yeah, that actually sounds interesting. I don't actually have like a cable plan. I just use an antenna, so that's actually an appealing thing to me.
It'd be great for you. Includes 50 plus live and on-demand channels. Watch sports, including ESPN and FS1, regional sports, news, other can't-miss events. Record live TV with cloud DVR as well. You can watch Big Brother on your local CBS station. Enjoy all your TV in one place with the brand new Hulu experience. Go to Hulu.com and start your free trial today. All right, let's dive into some of these questions. Okay, this is a question from Amanda Rabinowitz, who I spoke to on the podcast earlier this week. She wants to know, what's the minimum amount of time I could commit to watching Big Brother and still enjoy RHAP content?
Okay, so as I mentioned, I think you can really choose your own adventure here, but the real minimum amount is, I'd say, watch the first episode or so to get familiar with the cast and to like understand who these people are. And then, again, you can really just stop watching entirely if you want. You can listen to the podcasts. You can choose to just check Twitter. You can do essentially whatever you want. We will do our absolute best to keep you informed about what's happening so that you understand what we're talking about when we're talking about it. and you'll understand all the jokes that we're making. And as I mentioned, a lot of people do that. They just tune out of the show and just listen to the podcast, and it works fine for them. So I can really recommend that.
Yeah, watch the premiere so you know who these people are. And then, Taryn, you could argue a point that people who just listen to the podcast might have a better idea of what's going on than people that are just watching the show.
I agree. I think they probably do.
Yeah. Steven Van Sant wants to know, what makes Big Brother more difficult than Survivor? First off, do you subscribe to that?
It really depends on how you define difficult.
Yeah.
Survivor, certainly a much more physically challenging, probably more mentally challenging game. The more difficult aspects of Big Brother, I think, are the length of time. It's, you know, up to 100 days, mm-hmm. which is a very long period of time to be trapped in a house. As I mentioned, the strategic part of it, it's a lot more difficult to be in control of a game of Big Brother. Whereas on Survivor, if you get the majority locked down, you can really be in control of the game to a reasonable extent. In Big Brother, it's almost impossible to control the game for any length of time. So any player that's trying to do that, they're going to find it much more difficult. And then again, like even just trying to keep yourself safe can be very difficult. You can just kind of be randomly targeted for any number of reasons. I'd say those are the aspects that are probably more difficult there.
Difficult, I think, is the wrong word. That Big Brother can be more complicated than Survivor, but I think it's a mistake to say it's more difficult, because Survivor, there's this very complicated strategic game that's going on, and you're also being pushed to your physical limits by the elements while you're out there on Survivor. Whereas Big Brother is much more of a cerebral game. You are also being pushed to your limits mentally at times. Your life isn't in danger. You might be a have-not, which we'll discuss that in a moment. But ultimately, I would not say it's anywhere near as difficult as Survivor.
Yeah, and I guess one thing that is an added element that Survivor doesn't have is the live feeds. Knowing that you are being filmed 24/7 and it's being broadcast to people, you know, any slip, anything that you might say is going to get out there. That is probably very taxing on your state of mind.
This is a question from our good buddy, Ali Giancola. Can you guys please consider providing a brief introduction to some of the BB terminology? Veto, backdoor, buyback, have not, Big Jeff. There was a learning curve to understanding the podcast the first season. Okay, let's take it one by one. Okay, the veto, Taryn, we sort of described that. Anything we missed with the veto, the power of veto?
Well, basically what happens with the veto is, again, there are two people who are nominated for eviction. They, those two people plus the head of household who nominated them pick three other people to compete in a 6-person competition. The winner of that competition has the power to remove one of the people from the nomination block, and the head of household will have to replace that person with another person. If you were not on the block and you won the power veto, you can use it on somebody who is on the block, and you are not eligible to be the replacement nominee. So it's basically immunity, plus you get to save somebody who's on the block, unless you're on the block yourself, in which case you have to obviously save yourself, although you are technically able to save the person next to you, which doesn't always go well for the people that try that.
Okay, backdoor. What does it mean when you're going to backdoor somebody in the Big Brother house?
So that's something that happens with the veto. Basically, what it is the head of household will intentionally not nominate their true target for eviction, which essentially gives them the chance to have that person not compete in that 6-person competition, because only the two people nominated plus the head of household plus three people chosen at random will compete for the veto. So they take the chance, they nominate two pawns, and then hope that their true target isn't picked to play in the veto. If they're not picked to play in the veto, they have no chance to ever save themselves. So anybody who does win the veto will then use it on somebody who is nominated, and the head of household will replace that person with their true target, leaving them completely, helpless.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in terms of being backdoored.
Yes, and that is the true definition of backdoor. It is also used, incorrectly to just mean any sort of replacement nominee. So anytime the veto is used and that person is put up on the block, they will often call that a backdoor, even though it is not a true backdoor, so to speak.
when we talk about a buyback, this is not something that is used in the show, but something that we've talked about often on the podcast. What do we mean by a buyback?
A buyback is when an evicted house guest is comes back into the house, either through a fan vote or a challenge or, you know, whatever. Anybody who has been evicted and then comes back, we call that a buyback.
They did it last season. I'm trying to think if they did it in Big Brother 17. Yes, Johnny Mac came back. And then Big Brother 16, did they do it as well? No, right?
Yeah. Nicole came back. And then before that, Judd came back.
Okay, so they do it every season. Somebody's leaving the house and somebody's coming back.
Yeah, every season since 14.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't do a buyback in that season. They just did a week where nobody got evicted.
Yes.
Okay. So if your favorite goes home, then, you know, hope is not lost. Maybe they'll end up coming back to the house. Okay. A have not, Taryn. No, we haven't talked about this. This is important.
Very important. So basically, they have this thing. It's we're joking about how important it is. They have these competitions
It's a big part of the show.
They often make a big deal of it. Usually in the beginning of the season, and then toward the end, you kind of forget that it's happening. Mm-hmm. They have competitions, have not competitions, and sorry, that was probably confusing. They have not competitions. And the losers of those competitions tend to be the ones that are chosen to be what are called have-nots. They have to sleep in a specific room that is designed to torture them, essentially. Last season, they had to sleep in bumper cars. There was one where they had to sleep in dentist chairs, you know, something just miserable. And they also have to eat what they call slop, which is essentially like really especially bland oatmeal. You know, it's just gross.
Sorry, that's in my Survivor DNA. I can't help but mock the people that complain about being on slop. Oh, no. It's like bland oatmeal.
Yeah.
I eat bland oatmeal every day by choice.
So, you know, that's the habit. It's not my favorite part of Big Brother. It really tends to like make people just kind of miserable and not as entertaining as they otherwise could be. But it can sometimes lead to some interesting situations, especially when there's a particular group of people that are sent to the have-not room. Those people tend to bond with each other, which can create interesting situations strategically.
Okay. And then a Big Jeff is what, Taryn?
A Big Jeff. Big Jeff is what we call Jeff Schroeder, who is probably one of the most popular house guests. There's currently a poll that CBS is running about most memorable house guest. And the final four are Jeff, Big Jeff, and Jordan, his showmance, who is a sweetheart on the show. And then Dan Giesling, who I talked about, and Janelle, who is one of the most popular house guests of
all
time.
Will got knocked out?
Yes, Dan beat Will in the previous round.
Uh-oh, that's not sitting well.
He's also really he's winning against Janelle, so it's looking like it's going to be Dan versus Jordan.
Dan versus Jordan. Jordan is beating Big Jeff?
Yeah, she is. Okay. She's beating Big Jeff.
I thought Big Jeff was more popular than Jordan.
You would have thought so, but Jordan is such a sweetheart. Too, so
yeah. All right.
Yeah, so Big Jeff, he does a lot of interviews for the show. He does what we call Jeff-ish on the feeds, which is we get like clips from Jeff interviewing evicted house guests, or Jeff kind of just introducing clips from the feeds, and that happens when the feeds are out, and the feeds go out when there's a competition or they're setting up for the live show or something like that.
One other one that Ali did not mention, Taryn, could you explain what a floater is?
This is, again, another term. It's weird because Big Brother invents these terms and then uses them incorrectly. So the true definition of a floater is somebody who has no true allegiance to any one side. They're usually around like two general sides of the house. There's one group of people and then there's another group of people on the other side. They're usually targeting each other. A floater is somebody who sticks in the middle and goes back and forth to whoever's in power that current week. So if person from side A wins HOH, then a floater will be right up their butt and be like, oh yeah, you're the best, I love you. And then the next week, if somebody from side B wins HOH, they will float over to the other side and be like, oh yeah, you're the best, I love you. And they will do that to keep themselves safe and prevent themselves from being targeted in that battle between the two sides. It has also come to mean what I think a lot of the super fans will call a coaster, which is essentially somebody who does very little in the house, doesn't win competitions, doesn't really play in the strategic game. They just kind of hang around and, you know, they're maybe friends with a couple people.
Floater used to be a positive connotation in terms of like, oh, that person, they're playing a floater game. That's a good idea. And Rachel Riley did come along and ruin that with Floaters Get a Life Vest.
Well, actually, I feel like Dr. Will ruined it a little bit in season 7 when he was the one who said to Janelle, we got to get all these floaters out of here. They're the worst. And then that kind of like permeated into the ether of Big Brother. And then Rachel Riley picked up on it and really made it a big thing when she said, right, floaters, grab a life vest. You know, people who aren't winning competitions, we got to get them out. They're the worst.
Very ironic because he is the originator of the floating strategy.
Yeah, I mean, essentially.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you a real test, Taryn. This is from Gene Damian, who said, how do you not gouge your eyes out at the sight of a dozen contestants yelling, horny, uneducated, trashy young adults repeating the same sentences over and over again until a flashback of what just happened reminds you of what they just said again, all living in the ugliest house ever built? How do you go through hours upon hours of that horror all for the sake of a decently designed game?
I get to make fun of it on a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to make fun of that stuff. We know it's ridiculous. I mean, if you're a Survivor fan.
They know
fan,
it's ridiculous.
Everybody
is aware. Nobody is putting this out like, okay, this is not something ridiculous that's happening right now. No, the contestant, the show, the viewer, we're all on the same page. We're all looking at each other in the eye. We know what the deal is.
Yeah. And we're just all having fun with it. You know, nobody's taking it that seriously. The game is something that can be serious if you're looking at it from a strategic standpoint, but the show itself is utterly ridiculous. And if you're somebody who doesn't enjoy the actual episodes, again, you don't have to even watch them. You can just listen to our podcast. If you enjoy RHAP, I personally think, even when I'm not on the podcast, I think that the Big Brother coverage is some of the best stuff we do. And I think that's in large part because, Rob, you have so much fun with it. And I think it can be so much fun to cover because of how ridiculous yet serious and complex that it is.
Okay, Taryn, here's a question from Steve Chung. I'm a huge Survivor fan and obviously a big RHAP fan. I've wanted to be a fan of Big Brother to participate in the conversations, but every time I watch it, it makes me want to stop. It somehow doesn't feel like an event the way Survivor does. And sometimes it even feels a little bit cheap.
That was pretty cheap.
And Steve goes on, I have to believe I'm missing something. Can you tell me what makes it so good? Taryn, are you ever feeling like Big Brother feels cheap?
Oh, it feels cheap constantly. I mean, even like watching Big Brother Canada, Big Brother Canada often feels a lot more sleek and expensive on a much smaller budget. But yeah, I mean, it's really the sort of thing where it's like... It's kind of like if you want to use like the Apple versus PC stereotype, right? It's like Survivor is like more sleek, it's designed well, it's cool, it's interesting, and Big Brother is kind of ugly. You know, it's not the greatest. It's not going to provide you with the best user experience, but you have a lot of customizable options, and if you really get into it, it can be very, very rewarding. You really just have to look past the cheap exterior and see the like the true goodness that lies within.
I really think the key is, much like in life, go in with low expectations. After a while, it's like a romantic comedy. This thing that you think, oh, well, that's not that great. I don't know what the fuss is. Sooner or later, it's going to be, you'll be walking around humming the theme song. It's going to be stuck in your head. You're going to be going on Twitter like, I wonder what's happening on the live. And I don't care. I mean, it's just a stupid show. I mean, it looks so cheap. I don't even care about what's going on. It's so stupid. When is Survivor coming back? And the next thing you know, you're watching the live feeds and boom, they got you.
Yeah, and again, it's just so much fun if you do want to be involved on Twitter or on Reddit, or RHAP has a chat room for the live feeds. You can be listening to us. There are so many different ways to be involved in the community, and it's like a 24/7 community where you can just constantly, whenever you want, just talk to somebody about your favorite show, and there's always new stuff to be talking about every single day. It's just it's it again, there's so much there for you if you want, and if you don't want, you can just put in as little effort as you want and still get a lot out of it.
And that being said, one of these days, some of these contestants are going to be on Survivor. So at the very least, you could say, okay, I'm scouting the minor leagues of Survivor for when one of these people is ultimately going to be on Survivor 37.
Yeah, that rock draw goes a little differently, and maybe Hayden Moss is a winner of Survivor, and you're kind of wishing that you saw him dominate Big Brother first.
Yeah, so then you would know. All right, Taryn, this was so much fun to go into everything. I personally am very excited for Big Brother 19. I'm ready for it to come back. We had a lot of fun during Big Brother Canada 5, but I feel like that I am pumped up and ready to go for Big Brother 19.
Yes, I'm super excited. As I mentioned, like, this just brings me back to my childhood again. Like, the cast is ready to be dropped. We got a whole summer ahead of us. So many possibilities in our future, and I'm very excited to see where the season goes.
Okay, of course, follow the great Taryn Armstrong on Twitter. He is at Armstrong Taryn. He is the co-author of But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary. You could listen to that at robinswebsite.com/BB2. And then, of course, Taryn, are you ready to see these new Big Brother cast members on Monday?
Very ready. So excited.
Pumped up. Do you have a prediction?
About
the cast. Like,
it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of recruits. That's my prediction.
Give me one trendy sort of job title that they will put into the mix here.
Let me think about this for a sec. I think we'll get like an Uber driver.
Uber driver. That? Good.
Yeah.
I think that we are getting somebody, I'm going to go with a woman, and she is a fidget spinner designer. That would be trendy. That would be hot.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Yes, the fidget spinner designer. She's coming up with them. She's got like a bedazzler, and she's putting like rhinestones on them.
Oh, man.
She's ready to go.
This is too trendy for me.
Too trendy. Okay. Hashtag has to be Chicken George R.R. Martin.
Yes.
Okay. You like that?
I love it. I love it.
That's good.
I really need that image Photoshop, please.
We need to have that. And of course, we'll have podcasts Monday night and Tuesday night. We'll probably break it up and do previewing the women one night and the men one night. Ultimately, the LFC will get together and do a draft, I'm presuming. Is that, Taryn, are you going to win the draft again?
I mean, we can do a draft, but it's really just like, you know, there's no point. I've won every single one up to this point. There's been like 10 of them, and I've won every single one. It's ridiculous.
Is that the actual stat? Can you give us the actual number when you guys get together for another draft?
We can. I think it's 8. I think it's 8.
So 8 times against the LFC.
I think it's close. Yeah. Counting So You Think You Can Podcast.
How are you so good at this?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I really don't.
Okay.
I think I calculated the odds, and it's like less than 0.1% that I would have won every single one.
I don't think it's a fluke. And of course, if you want to get your hands on the Big Brother live feeds, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. And if you want to get a jump on Big Brother, you can always go back and watch some of Big Brother on CBS All Access as well. But, you know, it'd probably save your strength. You know, get ready. You're going to need it for a long summer of Big Brother 19. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.